Okay, welcome to the fifth hour of the second class. We had yesterday four classes. You will see that I put an announcement, a note in Frontier, telling you that I had some technical problems with the recording of the first hour. So instead of being 45 minutes, it's only about 50 minutes. Use the time to explain the approach that we use in practice when we develop simulation models to solve problems by companies, kind of working as consultants. And even if you only will see 15 minutes of the class, the written materials are quite extensive, so that I hope you didn't miss important things. The other thing is that the point of this first lecture yesterday was to tell you how we work in practice when you are a professional modeler and you're doing problems for companies, solving problems for companies. So this is something that will be of interest for you if you continue in your professional life, either because you could do it yourself or you could understand what is needed and then contact a group of consultants that can create a model for the company you're working for. So in other words, that's not something that you will be using this term, rather it is something that you will be have used for in your professional life. Then finally, yesterday evening, yesterday afternoon, in the last class, I posed an exercise creating an archetype for the Morrison model. The Morrison model is the system dynamics model that I explained yesterday, consisting of two feedback loops. And that in principle shows the paradox when you have to assign time or time resources to both produce throughput for the company and to improve the throughput of the company. So what I did is I said, in this exercise, I assume that you have a thorough understanding of the Morrison model, which I will show in the next slide. And for this, you will have to either have attended the lecture yesterday, read the materials, done the exercises, including determining the steady state for the simulation model, downloaded the VNC model that you have in front of and simulated the various scenarios, the equilibrium scenario, which is the one that gives the steady state, the simulation of a pulse in the desired throughput or an increase in the desired throughput of 100, 200 and 400 units per week, and even created the model yourself. If you did all this, then you know this model very well, and it is a model that simulates, and where you have two feedback loops, the balancing feedback loop that assigns time resources to produce throughput, and the reinforcing feedback loop is one, the one that is completely blue, where there is some allocation of available time to correct the problems, and the problems you can imagine they are created by security incidents. So to create an archetype, you have first to convert the model here to a causal diagram, that is, neglect the distinction between stocks, flows and other kind of variables. And then, since the point of the archetype is very simply to communicate the essence of a model, then you have to reduce the model to the essentials, using as few variables and connection as possible. And here is the target, express the Morrison model as an archetype, a causal diagram consisting of two feedback loops, one expressing the intended and the other expressing the unintended consequence. And as I said, one has to simplify as much as possible. And to develop the archetype, I had given you guidelines in the last course, such as what is the action, what is desired outcome, and what happens as undesired outcome. Okay? And here is the proposed solution. So the manager of the company allocates resources to production. And the intention is that these resources will increase the net throughput. And since it is a balancing loop, the closer you come to the desired net throughput, the less you will have to allocate to further production. So, the unintended consequence is that the allocation to problem correction diminishes. You get less of this. And since the allocation to problem correction influences the throughput, because correcting the problem means more products are produced that are okay, the problems make errors in the products, so you have a positive polarity and you have a some time delay here. And if you go through this, then you see that you have got a reinforcing feedback loop, which is the rework loop. So that's basically the solution. And I have uploaded the exercise, and I uploaded the solution to Fronta. Okay, then that was this point. And here you see that as exercise, creating an archetype for the Morrison model, and the solution in that. Now I will review the first examination project. As I said yesterday, and I will repeat it now, I am working together with the external examiner to grade the answers. And in principle, there is a deadline of 3 weeks. Since you finish the 8th of May, that means that we will have the deadline of 29th of May. But I do hope to finish earlier. But again, it depends also on the availability of the external examiner, who is a former student of mine, who was very interested in system dynamics and information security, did his PhD on incident response using system dynamics models, worked for a while here as a teacher, but now he is only a consultant. He's working with a consulting company that uses system dynamics to solve the problems of different customers. Now, what I did is that I uploaded I call it a template solution. By this, I mean a proposed solution for that. And here I will review that briefly. Of course, you will have to need some time to digest and compare with your solution. The reason for why I give you a template solution is because if you spend the time comparing my solution with yours, then you will have an opportunity to learn more. And an examination is a very good opportunity, since you are highly motivated to do it well. It's a very good opportunity for learning more. So that's why I spent some time in providing the solution. So what I did is, we had 3 entries, the basic model, and then 2 other models, which I called experiment 1 and 2, which were simple modification of that. Then I put questions that I numbered, item 1, 2, 4, and so on. So the first question was, in the graph incident handling, which is the variable acting as a goal, and which is the variable forced to approach the goal? So if we look at the model here, the basic one, so I'm asking here, you see two variables, incident handling throughput and desired manual incident handling throughput. If you look at the loop here, this is the target for the feedback loop that goes around here. So the answer probably wasn't difficult for you. And I put it here. One has a balancing loop where the desired manual incident handling throughput acts as the goal for the target of the loop. And incident handling throughput is the variable that is false. And you can also see that in the simulation, the target is this red line, and the other variable approaches this. And then you will see something which shows that there is a little problem with the model, and that's the things that you will ask later to criticize. Because you see that the incident handling throughput is trying to approach the goal, it does it, and then it closes and gets a little bit lower. And that's the kind of things that you should at this stage start noticing, and later come back when you criticize the model. You notice also that in the time resource allocation, which is the next question, in the graph time resource allocation, which is the variable acting as a goal and which is the variable forced to approach the goal? Well, for one thing, if you selected this variable, which you see is the target, if you select that and then click here on loops in VenSim, then you see that this variable is actually many loops. And it is quite interesting to look at the loops that VenSim identifies. Loop number one of length 2, and it tells you which variables are there. Loop number 2 of length 5, it gives you the variables. Loop number 3 of length 7, and you get all the variables in the loop. Loop number 4 of length 9. So there are 4 loops. I thought they were 5, but it's 4. Okay, 4 loops where this variable is part of them. As compared to the loop here, the previous loop, or the previous variable, incident handling throughput, where is that? It is in 2 loops. Loop number 1 of length 5, loop number 2 of length 9. Or you could get the hints from VenSim to identify the loops. So there is one loop, which is that, and I think the other loop is this one that goes probably this way, and perhaps this way and back. So it is in 2. When there are several loops influencing the behavior of variables, then especially if there are several balancing feedback loops, each of them is steering a slightly different direction, and that explains why we don't get exactly the approach. We simulate again. In this case, for the time resource allocation, the goal is the green one, which is here below. And you see that the goal itself is changing over time. So it is not a constant goal, as in the previous case, where the desired manual incident handling throughput has got the value constant 375 incidents per week. Okay. Whereas in this case, the goal is an equation, and this equation makes the goal to change over time. And the reason for this is because the important thing for the CSERT is to achieve a desired incident handling. Why did I put manual here? Well, perhaps this confused you a little bit. The point is that in advanced CSERTs, in addition to the work done by the staff, you can have some software that processes incidents if they are well known. You cannot do that with new incidents that never have been seen before. But if there are incidents that are recur, then you could in principle have a software system that produces what we call a triage. Triaging means you have a selection in order of priority and processing. In the triaging, it will be identified, is this something we have seen before? If yes, do we have a response for that? Yes, then the software does that. And those that are not known from before and don't have a response from before, they are handled manually. In this case, the CSERT only assumes that you have manual handling of incidents, but it assumes that there is a process of working smart that increases the efficiency of the staff. So it could be learning, training, whatever methods they are, so that they can handle more incidents per time. So anyhow, the desired manual incidents throughput is constant, and the target time to spend working hard is supposed to be a way to arrange allocation of resources so as to achieve the desired incident handling throughput. And it's there is a decision rule here, which is this equation that allocates resources, because there is a time resource gap and you need more time so as to achieve this one. Okay, I put this all in the template here. Then I had these questions that I try to answer now. Why is time to spend working hard sliding upwards as time proceeds? Well, in between there was the relation between the two times. Well, they must add to the total available resources. Then why is time to spend working hard sliding upwards in this simulation? You see that here, the staff is working more and more hard. And the reason for that, you see if you select this variable and see how it behaves. And you see the efficiency is going down over time. So in this simulation setup, the efficiency is going down simply because more efficiency is eroded than efficiency is gained by working smart. That was the explanation. Okay? Any questions? So then there was the documentation of the Venzi model. And here I put the documentation. There are too many things here to review in this lecture, so you will have time. You have to go through this and compare so as to learn. So basically what I was asking you was to provide explanation of the values and or the equations based on the way these variables are defined. So the right answer was not, I simulated and I got the insight that this happens. It is okay to use the simulation to help you understand, but ultimately the good documentation will be the one that model developer will put in while the model is being built. That is explaining what is the meaning of the variable and how is it defined, if it is necessary to give explanation as to the value, or if the equation is a bit tricky and needs to be explained. So I put here comments. You see some of them are quite long, especially when they concern decisions of the manager. So the desired manual incident handling throughput is obviously a decision made by the CSET manager. Time to spend working smart, target time to pay work smart, this is a manager's decision rule. So it's when the manager thinks that the correct thing is to do the following. One has a certain value for time to spend working hard. If there is a gap, resource gap, then we have to allocate more resources. So the decision is add to the current value of time to spend working hard the computed time resource gap in order to close the incident handling gap. But then you have a problem is If you do a blind computation, it could be that you get a number which is higher than the total available resources. This cannot be. So that's why there is a minimum function, which means if the time to spend working hard plus the time resources happen to be larger than the resources that you have, then you cannot do that. You can only allocate as much as you have, which is total hours resource per week. Conversely, if the decision is negative in the end, because the gap is negative, this can happen if you are on the other side of that, then you risk getting a negative number for the target time to spend working hard. This is nonsense, of course, and to prevent that, you take a maximum function, which will give you the value zero if the decision to allocate time results to be a negative number. So that's why you have these two functions, the minimum and the maximum function. Any questions? Okay, so basically here you will have to spend time comparing the different definitions, the definitions of the variables and constants and so on, and see how you did it, and see if there is something that needs more reflection. Then as to the two examples, the experiment 1 and 2, the only change was in the definition of the target time to spend working hard. In experiment 1, the decision rule of the CSS manager was until the time is 20 days, one should proceed as in the basic model, that is adding to the current value of time to spend working hard the computed time resource gap. But then after 20 days, the rule was make the target equal to 300 hours a week. So that means when you simulated this, that you got something like this. Which meant that you were working, no, wait a moment, is this, no, sorry, this is the second. Yes. You are working that much hard, and then you want them to work even harder. And what happens is indeed an increase in the incident handling per week. They are handling more incidents, but then this curve is decreasing. And the question was why? Well, if you look at the capability or efficiency, then you see what happens. It starts decreasing very sharply. And the reason for that is because there is efficiency erosion. Less people are working smart, less efficiency gain, and that reduces, you get a worse before better behavior. And then similarly, in the other case, for the other experiment, you simulated that, then the decision is after time 20 to work more smart and less hard, and you see that in the incident handling it drops, because less people, less resources are allocated to handle the incidents. But over time improves, and the reason why improves is we are working smarter and we are gaining efficiency, which we got here. And then finally, the last question that you were asked to was to criticize the model. In criticizing the model, the idea, the problem, so to speak, is a model is always a simplification of reality, and that's something that we indeed want to do. Reality is so complex that it's very difficult to understand, so we use models so as to capture important things and understand these important things. They are supposed to help us to improve our mental models of understanding of the situation. If the models were as complex as reality, then they will be as difficult to understand as reality, and then you gain nothing. So that's the big advantage of models, is that they give you kind of a ladder that you can use to climb higher and higher and understand better and better, and improve your understanding, model your intuitions, and so on and so on. So when you are asked to criticize the model, the first thing is, of course, to acknowledge that the model should be very simple. And then the next question is, given the simplicity of the model, are there some aspects here that are puzzling that should be improved or that require more attention? And there are several aspects, but I want to focus on one which is quite important. And that is the fact that you have two targets, this one and this one, and they share common feedback loops. When they are in common feedback loops, then the feedback loop tries to attend to both things at a time. And that will only go well if they are compatible. In other words, if the manager has a decision as to how many incidents that should be handled, then the target, the decision rule for target time to spend working hard should be accommodated to the first one. And here it is not completely well done, as you could see, and which I pointed out, for instance, in the basic model. Or you could also see the here, the incident handling here goes beyond the target, which actually is good because you are doing better. But sometimes that's not the point. So that was basically the review of the template solution. And my point here was simply to give you an overview to help you read the template and spend some time understanding that. Again, I suggest that you do spend the time comparing with your own solution so as to increase your understanding. One more thing that I wanted to tell you. If you look at the basic model again, so you see that here, in a sense, there is a steady state for incident handling. That's not exact. And here, there is also not, it is approximately constant, but not completely constant. So yesterday I explained that if it is possible, one should have a model that is in steady state. The problem in this case to achieve steady state, there are several problems. One problem is the way the effect of working smart is defined, which actually is the same as the incident efficiency gain. It is defined by this table. And this table is a nonlinear reaction, relation. And it is not a mathematical one, it is given by interpolation. So when you have a complex nonlinear relation, as you have here, even more because they are numerical tables, then finding the steady state might be tricky or maybe even impossible. The other thing is the two targets here that are in the same feedback loop. If they are not well adjusted, then it's difficult to achieve the steady state. Still, I got it approximately. How did I do that to get a steady state? In the model from yesterday, it was in a sense simple, because you have simple equations, you could go into them and solve them. This you couldn't do here because you will have this table for the effect of working smart, which will complicate the matter because of nonlinear reactions. So what I instead did is to use an advanced system that you have in the professional version of Venzim. You don't have it here. In the professional version of Venzim, you have something which is called calibration. and I will show you that in the documentation. Again, that's not something that you can do with your free version, because the free version runs in PLE. Doesn't have this capability. So if you put in calibration and help in list topics, then you find that item model calibration. And then there is an example that comes with Venzim, but again you cannot do the exercise with Venzim PLE, but you can still read the documentation. And it explains you how to calibrate a given Venzim model, which is a diffusion model for the conversion of households to electricity to fit real data in the US. And there you have a model like this, and then if you click next, the model is explained, and then the model is simulating like this. This is the red line is what the model is giving with the parameters that it has for the percents of houses in the US that had electric power at the year 1900, 1910, and so on. This is the real data, the blue line. It's a bit patchy, but that's the data they have. The red is what the model simulates, and you see the model at the current stage is simulated, it's not simulating well. It's far from the real value. So what do you do? You have to find the values of the constants of the Venzim model that will give the best fit. And this you could do manually. You could simply choose to change the constant, simulate, see what happens, and try manually to improve your simulation. That will take a lot of time because there are many constants, there are several constants that need to be adjusted. Instead, the professional version of Venzim gives you a system. You have an optimization button on the toolbar. I'm going to show that in the professional version. This one. And if you click on that, then you can enter the variables that you want to calibrate and do a number of things. And then Venzim will calibrate for you. I'm not going to do it here because it's a lengthy process, but I'm going to guide you through the documentation. So here it explains, you open the optimization button and you choose the variables. You choose a constant, the percent of US dwellings with electric power, and you give it some start value and also some weights. The weights say how much importance is given to that information, and you add more variables until you have actually you have two variables there that you have to calibrate. And then after defining the values, you give restrictions for simulated variables. So Venzim is not supposed to select just anything, rather you give them some interval where they should be. You see here, if you look at here in the bottom, you see that, for instance, it's telling them they should be positive, and so on. So the restrictions should be common sense. And but before you do that, you need to introduce, I forgot to tell you that, you need to introduce the reference mode. And the reference mode, they are the values, empirical values that you want to match. I will open actually the model that I use so that I can show the that one. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but perhaps it was this one. Yes, that's the one that is calibrated. Yes, actually what I did is to give as reference mode the desired values. And you can see in my optimization that this was well calibrated, but perhaps it wasn't this one, the one that I use, quality protocols to, let me see this one. Yes, that's one of the process that I did under calibration. And so on. Now I don't find this one. But if we open the elected one, maybe I can show you very briefly. I think I have it here. Yes, there it is. This is the model to be calibrated. And if you look and select this variable, then you see this is the first simulation. This curve here that is broken is the empirical one. And the curve that you see here is the one that you get by calibration. So you start with this one, which is far away from the empirical one, which is this one. And then after calibration, you get this one with new parameters. So what Vensing calibration does is to change the values of different parameters, initial fraction, electric, contact rate, and so on, so as to get the best fit. And similarly for here, average household size, I think this one. No, it wasn't this one. Which was the other one? US population, perhaps? Yes. In the US population, then you get the initial, this one, and then the final simulation has a very close match with the actual one. And this is done by optimizing, and here you see the variables that are selected to be compared with the empirical values, and here you see the constraints put on the different variables, and then when you click finish, this Vensim starts running, and after a while it tells you maximum payoff found at, that means the best fit is found, and here you get the values that you have to put. Initial household should get this value, conversion fraction should get this value, household addition rate should be this value, initial fraction elected should be this one. And when you do that and put these values instead of the original constants in the Vensim model, then you have got the best fit. And that's also what I did when I created a model for the examination. I had first some values for the parameters, and when I simulated, they were, the performance was far away from the desired values. Then I optimized it, and then it gave me the values of the parameters that I should enter, and that's finally the model that I gave you, one that was reasonably close to the steady state. Steady state meaning the desired values. Any questions? No, no, the calibration, the question was, can you calibrate if you have numerical relations in table? Yes, 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 you can still calibrate. Vensing will find you the best fit that is possible. Only that yesterday, the calibration was create an exact steady state. And there you got it exactly. Here in this calibration that I did for your problem, I got only approximately, I didn't